Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Pastor Scott and the worship team, I want to invite you to grab your Bibles this morning and join me once again in the book of Nehemiah. We will close out our series this morning as we cover Nehemiah chapters 11 and 12. And if you have been reading ahead, you know that there is a chapter 13, and that's your homework assignment once you leave today for the next week. All right? Does that sound good? Can you do that? That didn't sound convincing. All right, there we go. Somebody's with me. As we look at the text this morning, we're going to focus in on a message entitled, Church is a Team Sport. Church is a Team Sport. Now, many of you know that I am from the great state of Georgia. Everybody say amen, right?
Amen.
So I'm from Georgia, and I just want to confess to you as we are here this morning that the Super Bowl was quite depressing this year. And unless you're a Patriots fan, which there probably are a whole lot, but you don't have a lot of friends, right? Unless you were a Patriots fan, you were quite depressed this year as well. But let me just kind of throw this out there. Why did the Patriots win?
Y'all choked?
Now, somebody's going to be a smart guy and say, because they still have more points, right? Teamwork. Somebody's reading ahead. I'm proud of you for reading ahead. If you listen to the sports commentators, they only mention one person, typically, when it comes to the Patriots. And you know who that is, and no one likes him. Amen?
Preach!
Tom Brady. That's the person. Misses and moves. There we go. That's the one person that they talk about. Tom Brady's the quarterback, for those of you who don't like sports and don't really care about what happened in the Super Bowl this year. Tom Brady's the quarterback, and I mean, they were saying things about Tom Brady like the man has ice water running through his veins. I mean, they were down so many touchdowns, and he led the team, and they scored, and they won, and everybody's happy that it's a Patriots fan, which means about an eighth of Chicago area, somewhere around in there, you know, New England area. But here's the thing. What's interesting is, probably none of us in this room know who Tom Brady's center is that hikes the ball to him. If Tom Brady doesn't have a center, he doesn't get the ball. And if he doesn't have a left guard, he gets sacked in the backfield. And if he doesn't have a receiver who's running a route that he can throw the ball to, he's not going to be scoring very many touchdowns. And so though the sports commentators will focus in on this one person as if they are the reason that the team won, the truth is, if you've played team sports, you know and I know, without all of the team moving in one direction, the team's not going to do what it's supposed to do. What we're going to see in the text this morning is the fact that God's people must function as a team to carry out the mission that He's left us to carry out. Meaning that it's going to take every single one of us moving with a common goal, with a common direction, with a common purpose to do what God intends for us to do. That means that the question has to be asked of yourself, what does my role look like in this process? What does my role look like as we move forward? If you're new to North River Church, or maybe you're coming back and been away for a little while, we are moving forward, I hope quickly, on building a building right down the road here on Fort Hamer. We've been talking about that process, and we've been looking as we walk through the book of Nehemiah and begin to apply some things to our specific context that we see come up in the people of Israel's life in the book of Nehemiah. we talked about some important key ideas, some important key concepts that we got to keep in the back of our mind as we walk through this process. We've got to remind ourselves that what God wants to do here in the life of North River Church is bigger than us. And for it to be bigger than us, all the glory has got to go to Him. And as we walk through this process of moving forward and building and all the exciting things that transpire when that happens, there's going to be opposition that we are going to experience. We talked about this in week two of the series. And then we said last week that as we walk through this process, that we've got to take a step back and remind ourselves of why we're here and why God is using this body of believers. We've got to take a step back and remind ourselves that this is not about us. In fact, it's all about Him. And if we're going to do what God intends for us to do, we've got to make sure that we're walking in step with Him throughout this entire process. There's nothing that's changed about what we're supposed to do as a church, whether we meet in this building or whether we build a building down the road. Our mission, our goal is Jesus' great commission, that we would make disciples. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. And if we're going to be able to do that, if we're going to be able to hit on all cylinders, if we're going to be able to move forward the way God intends for us to move forward, we're going to have to do it as a team. I want you to look at Nehemiah beginning in chapter 11. Now at this point, the people have finished rebuilding the wall. They've stepped back and they have renewed their covenants with the Lord, and they are coming now to what happens after all of this. And they realize that certain people have to be living within the city of Jerusalem now that the walls have been rebuilt. And so they begin in verse 1. This is what the text says. Now the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lots to bring out one of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while 9 out of 10 remained in other towns. And the people blessed all the men who willingly offered to live in Jerusalem. Just pause and remind yourself that up until this point, that the walls of the city of Jerusalem had been torn down by an invading army a number of years beforehand. And they were battling armies coming in constantly within the city, tearing houses down. There was not a whole lot going on within the city of Jerusalem. They've now rebuilt the walls, and it's time for some people to begin living within the city of Jerusalem. But there's a problem. There's not much there. Kind of like downtown Parrish. Just not a lot there. You go in and you look around. There's not a bakery for us to get food. There's not a meat market. There's all of these things that the people would have needed to live, to sustain themselves. It's not in the city anymore, because all of those things have been torn down. They've been broken down. The armies had demolished those things. Basically, at this point in the time, you've got the walls and you've got the temple. They're beginning the process of rebuilding this city. Now you look and you think, well, that would be fun. Until you realize that there's nothing around you. In fact, you don't even get to eat unless someone outside brings you food. You don't really have a place to live until you build your house. All of the things that we would take for granted living in modern society, they've got none of those things, and they're starting from scratch. It says the leaders of the people were living in Jerusalem. Leadership principle there. The leader needs to be willing to go where he wants the people to go. The leaders are living within, and then they draw or cast lots to decide who else is going to come in. And it says 1 out of every 10 was chosen to come and live within the city, Which, if you're sharp with math, that means how many didn't go into the city? Y'all are good. 9 out of 10. 90% are outside of the walls, while 10% are within the walls. And, as we're going to see as we continue to walk through the text, I joked with you last week about reading names really fast that you can't pronounce. I just want to summarize what's going on in the next verses in chapter 11, because if you've read ahead, you know why. What we see happening is that there are certain groups of people that are represented by those coming into the city, and then the rest that are represented are outside of the city walls, and they are supporting those who are living within the city. They're providing food, they're providing water, they're providing building materials to build homes, they're providing their craftsmanship skills to design and to take care of that process. When you look at what happens in chapter 11, it's one of my favorite things, because what you see is the people as a team willing to make sacrifices. If you're taking notes this morning, here's the first truth that I want you to write down coming from chapter 11. It's this: being part of a team means being willing to sacrifice. Now let's look at the two groups of people. You have the 10% of the people that are living within the city walls. They're making the sacrifice, leaving the comforts of what they would have had outside of the walls, and they're sacrificing to live within the city walls. Then you have those who are living outside the city walls that are having to make sacrifices so that those within the city walls can eat and can live. Now imagine what would happen if half the people outside of the walls said, "You know what? I don't like sending bread into the city. I don't like sending building materials in there. In fact, you know, those people, they've got it really easy in there." And imagine if the people within the city are looking at the people outside the city and said, I wish I wouldn't have gotten chosen. Wish I would have been able to stay outside of the walls. Because if I stayed outside of the walls, then I wouldn't have to worry about, where am I going to sleep tonight? Or what am I going to eat today? Or how is this going to work out? All of the people in the nation of Israel at this point that have come back to the city of Jerusalem and the villages outside of Jerusalem were willing to make the sacrifices necessary for God's people to do what God intended for them to do. If you've ever been part of a team, you know what this looks like. I told you before, I played college baseball. And let me just share this with you. College baseball players are typically a bunch of knuckleheads. If you play college baseball, you know what I'm talking about. And what we would often experience, and our coach would do, is we would have someone who inevitably was failing a class, stayed out too late drinking, or whatever the scenario was, and they would get in trouble. And here's our coach's philosophy. If they get in trouble, the entire team runs. So we get a phone call late at night. Be at the gym at 5 a.m. We'd show up in the gym. And Johnny, who's a knucklehead, did something the night before that he wasn't supposed to do, and he got caught. And so our coach would say this. Here's what happened. Johnny, I want you to stand right over there, and I want you to watch your entire team run for the next hour. And about 15 minutes in, we want to kill Johnny. But here's what the coach understood. A team is only as good as its weakest link. A team that's not willing to make sacrifices together to accomplish the mission, to accomplish the goals, not going to go very far. At this point in time, the people in Israel are battling against some very difficult circumstances. In fact, things at this point in time probably are looking dim of whether or not they're going to be able to accomplish what God intended for them to accomplish. You back up and say, well, what was God trying to do through his people? God's mission for his people was very simple. He made a covenant with them so that they would follow him in obedience and be a blessing to those that were around them. You fast forward to Jesus' commission to us as his church. If you've been redeemed, if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, for you, you've been given a mission, and that's to make disciples, to tell people about Jesus, to be a blessing to those that are around us. But do you realize that it's going to take every single one of us locking arms together, being willing to make sacrifices for that to happen? It should not surprise us, because in fact, we serve a Savior who himself was a willing sacrifice. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that instead of Jesus grasping all the honor and glory that was due his name, that he laid that aside and he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. He became a servant for us. He sacrificed for us. And church, I'm here to tell you, if we're going to do what God intends for us to do in this community, reaching people, moving forward in the mission that God has given us, it will take sacrifice on each and every one of our parts. Very simply, when you look at it, there's three areas of your life that you can begin to ask those questions. How much am I willing to sacrifice? You look at your time, you look at your talents, you look at your treasure. You look at your time. How much time are you willing to sacrifice so that people far from God come to know him? How much time are you willing to sacrifice to serve within this body of believers or serve within this community so that people know who Jesus is? How much time are you willing to give up? Now you know and I know that there's only so many hours in the day, right? And if you're like me, you like to pack as much as you can in there. All of us are busy. All of us have things to do. We're carting kids from here to there. We're going on vacations. We're going to work. We're doing all of these things. And yet, the question that sits before us is, how much time are we willing to sacrifice so that God can use that time to reach people for his kingdom? Then you look at your talents. Every single one of you is gifted in some way. You look and you say, I don't know that I'm gifted. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've been saved this morning, you've been gifted by the Holy Spirit with exactly what this body of believers needs to continue to grow. Some of you have very different gifts. Some of you have the gift of teaching. You've got a number of fantastic teachers who teach our small groups, and they're utilizing those gifts. But Pastor Scott, who's over that, can tell you, we need more gifted teachers. We have gifted people that work with our kids. Some of you are looking going, I know I'm not gifted to work with kids. But we need people who are gifted to work with kids. We need people who are gifted to work with our teenagers. Listen, you may have the gift of talking. You're like, I didn't know that one was in there. But you like to talk. You like to meet people. You like to encourage people. The worst thing you can have at the front door of a church is someone who doesn't like people and doesn't like to talk. We've got an incredible group of leaders on Sunday mornings that greet people. We've got an incredible worship team. You may be gifted in that area. But whatever that area is, are you willing to sacrifice and use those gifts to build up the body of Christ? And then the one that no one likes to talk about in church, your treasure. Think, man, every time I go to church, the pastor talks about money. The question is, what are you investing in? What are you investing in that's going to last beyond you? Or even your family? What are you investing in that's going to make an impact for God's kingdom in this world? As we move through this building project, as we move towards raising money, I just want to be transparent with you. It will take incredible sacrifice from our people to give sacrificially to make this happen. But I want you to know, there is no greater thing that you can invest in than people's lives being transformed by what God has done. No greater thing that you could invest in than that. For us as a church, the question is, will we model what we see in Scripture here with the people of Israel? Where every single one was looking and willing to sacrifice so that the mission could move forward. So that God could do what He wanted to do with His people. It takes a team of people called the church, willing to sacrifice for God's mission to move forward in this world. We see that happening in chapter 11 and even in the first part there of chapter 12. But I want you to fast forward with me to verse 27 of chapter 12. The wall has been completed. The people are functioning and sacrificing to continue to carry out what God had intended for them to do. But it came time for them to pause for just a little bit and to celebrate what God had done. Verse 27, it says, "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the district surrounding Jerusalem, and from the villages of the Netophathites." Write that one down. "Also from Beth Gilgal and from the region of Geba, Asmaveth, for the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites, they purified themselves and they purified the people in the gates of the wall. And I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall and appointed two great choirs that gave thanks. One went south on the wall to the dung gate. And after them, Nehemiah begins to lay out those who were participating in this celebration process. As you fast forward, you get to verse 43, and it says this, "They offered great sacrifices that day, and they rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. And the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away." The first truth this morning in chapter 11 was being part of a team means being willing to sacrifice. But here's the second truth that we see in these verses. Being part of a team means being willing to celebrate. Being part of a team means being willing to celebrate. Let me just be completely transparent with you this morning. Typically, churches do a really bad job celebrating. Churches usually don't celebrate well. In fact, typically, churches and people within churches and leaders of churches are able to look and see what's wrong and what needs to be fixed. You ever been there? You know, if we just did this just a little bit differently, so much better. You know, if we had this going on, it would be better. Listen, I think about this constantly. Our staff thinks about this constantly. How can we tweak? How can we maneuver? How can we change things around so that things are better, so that we're able to reach more people, so that we're able to engage more people, so that we're able to be a voice in this community to lift high the name of Christ? We look and we see and we find out those things and we try to improve on them. But listen, there's times when we need to just pause and celebrate what God has done. There's times in your life that you need to just take a step back and you need to celebrate all that God has done in your life up until that point. I want you to just step back with me for a second and think about the last year or so at North River Church. And I went back to look at this. And it's funny because as you encounter things in the Scripture as a pastor, what you realize is that God is doing a work on you before He begins to do a work on the congregation. So I'm sitting and studying this week, and God's taking out His sledgehammer just to remind me, you know, Michael, you really need to celebrate more. You really need to pause, and you need to thank me for what I've done in the life of this church. You look back over the last year here at North River Church, we baptized 26 people in 2016. 26 people. That's about one person for every other week. There are thousands and thousands of churches that didn't baptize anyone last year. That is something for us to celebrate. We had people that came to faith in Christ who are awaiting baptism when we have our next baptism service. Not only are people taking the step of following Jesus, but they're willing to take the step of publicly declaring what they've done. You back up and you look even further, and you realize that not only did we baptize 26 people last year, we had 70 people partner with North River Church as members. 70 people. That is a blessing from the Lord. Not only that, but you look at the financial picture of North River Church last year. We had giving that exceeded our annual budget by $100,000. I don't know where you come from. That's a lot of money where I come from. $100,000. On top of that, we had giving towards our land fund that exceeded $100,000. On top of the other $100,000. We were able to pay our property off in half the time that the church thought we were going to be able to pay it off. All of those are just check marks of God's blessings. And church family, we've got to celebrate that. Have you ever met a team that won that didn't celebrate? You know the day of the year that most people call in sick to work? The Monday after the Super Bowl. Because they're celebrating. Now, it was less this year because the Patriots won. There are things for us to celebrate as a faith family. There are things that God has done in the midst of this congregation that are incredible things that we, if we're not going to celebrate, who's going to celebrate? The Bible says that every time someone trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that all of heaven throws a party. The angels are rejoicing, mesmerized by the grace that Jesus Christ has offered. I mean, if you can't celebrate any of those things, you had three staff members come on staff from the great state of Georgia last year. You got to go somewhere to get them, right? Listen, church, we have incredible things to celebrate. These people of Israel were looking around, and they had rebuilt the wall in just a short amount of time, a couple of months. They were able to celebrate all that God had done, walking through opposition, the challenges that they experienced. They were able to look and go, I remember when we first got started, and we didn't know if we were going to be able to accomplish it. And look what God did. I'm confident that we're going to be able to look back years from now, and we're going to be able to say, gosh, did you see God work? I told you before, if what we walk through over the next number of years together and things that are accomplished are things that we can dream, we'll have missed what God wants to do. God wants to do more than we can ask or imagine. God wants to show up and God wants to show out. But when He does, church, we've got to celebrate. We've got to be willing to say, oh, this isn't about us. Look what God's doing. That's what the people of Israel did here. They were singing. They were dancing. They were on the walls. They were celebrating. In fact, it says that the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. I want people to hear far away what God's doing here. I want people in Bradenton to say, what in the world's going on at North River Church? I want people who are not even plugged in here to go, God's moving there. You know how they know that things like that are happening? They hear it from us. How big of a cheerleader are you for what God's done in the life of North River Church? Are you celebrating what God has done here? Are you celebrating what God has done in your life? If anyone in the world has any reason to celebrate at all, it's God's people who have seen His hand of faithfulness continue to move and sustain them as they follow Him. We have every reason to celebrate. That's what being a part of a team is all about. Being willing to sacrifice. Being willing to celebrate. But as we look, beginning in verse 44, here's the third truth this morning. Being part of a team means being willing to serve. Being willing to sacrifice. Being willing to celebrate. And here, being willing to serve. It says in verse 44, on that day, men were appointed over the storerooms, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them the portions required by the law for the priests and for the Levites according to the fields of the towns. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered. And they performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors of the singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. And all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah gave the daily portions for the singers and the gatekeepers. And they set apart that which was for the Levites. And the Levites set apart that which was for the sons of Aaron. The people were willing to serve. It's been long put forward in the life of North River Church that God has saved us so that we will serve Him. It's not okay not to serve. Now here's the thing that part of a church conference last week, and we were sitting around the table and we were talking about how many of your people are serving in some capacity within the church. And they were talking about percentages. They said, you know, the typical percentages are 20% serve and 80% don't. It's interesting. Typically, 20% give and 80% don't. But here's what I was able to share with them. About 80% of our faith family serves in some capacity. To which all of them were looking, saying, how'd you do that? And I said, I don't know, I just got here a year ago. It was like that when we got here. And it's continued to be like that. And listen, being a mobile church, there are numerous opportunities for you to step in and serve. The fact that we have typically 100 plus kids in the back on a Sunday morning that many of you don't see unless they're running in or running out. We have workers that have to serve and work with them week in and week out. Things get set up here not by accident. People actually come and set those things up. speakers and curtains and signage and all of those things. I want to encourage you, if you have not found a place of service, find your gifts and find where God wants you to serve. We need you. We're going to be what God has intended for us to be in this community and as a church. If we're going to continue to reach people for the gospel, we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. We're going to have to be willing to celebrate. And we're going to have to be willing to serve. Church, our best days are ahead of us. But it will take a team for that to become a reality. That means every single one of us who call North River Church our home, it's going to take us sacrificing. It's going to take us celebrating. It's going to take us serving. And if you're looking for a church to be a part of, you're not a member here, you're not a partner with us, if you're looking for a church where you can come in and sit and soak and sour, this is not the church for you. We want to mobilize you for ministry, to serve. If you haven't found your spot, I want to encourage you. Come talk with us. We've got a number of opportunities where you can plug in and serve this faith family and in this community. God is doing something in the life of North River Church, and it's going to take a team for that to continue to be moving forward. Father, we come to you this morning and we ask that you would challenge our hearts. And we would ask ourselves one question. Are we willing to be a team player? Are we willing to lock arms with one another? To sacrifice together, to celebrate together, to serve together. God, I believe you want to do something in this body of believers, in this community. It's more than anything we could ask or imagine. Would you give us the courage to be willing to be on your team. To be willing to lock arms together. Father, for some this morning, that may be that they need to join the team as a believer. You talk about your son sacrificing and laying his life down. There may be some this morning that have never received the gift of salvation that his death and his resurrection offers them. Lord, would you give them the courage to receive that gift this morning? Father, there may be some this morning, and the step they need to take is join the team here at North River to partner with us in carrying out your mission in this world. Father, for those of us who are already a part of the team, as partners, as members here, would you put a mirror before us now and allow those three truths that we talked about to examine our hearts. Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to celebrate? Are we willing to serve? And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand if you will. We'll sing.